Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. As we do every Tuesday, we are welcoming your calls after the first segment. We will be talking, first of all, with our friend and colleague, Dr. Greg Popchick. And as usual, every Tuesday, we want to talk about marriage and the family and how the faith and faith elements pertain to the flourishing of marriage and the family. Remember, the goal here is we want you to flourish. We want you to thrive in your family life. We want to give you and your children a fighting chance for preserving and continuing practicing the faith and for eternal salvation. And that's our hope. So today, we will be talking about the 8 habits of healthy couples. In his seminal work, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis defines love as a deep unity maintained by the will and deliberately strengthened by habit. Now, nowhere here do you see the word feeling, because it's not a feeling. And I've seen numerous speakers and authors write about love being a feeling, but you won't hear that from the Church. And you're not hearing it from C.S. Lewis either. And Dr. Greg Popchick has built upon that premise to develop a list of 8 habits that are common to most healthy couples. And we want to encourage you to build those habits, to be sure. And part of building those habits is, after that segment, we want to invite your calls. And the calls are to the effect of, what advice do you wish you had received before you got married? The longer you stay married, the more wisdom you gain, the more you grow in life and love, and the more you realize, gosh, I wish I knew that at a certain point. And I've only been married 5 going on 6 years now, and I already have a small booklet of little wisdoms that I would love to pass on to my children. So what do you wish you knew before you got married? What lessons have you learned in life and love that you want to share with either your younger self or young people discerning marriage or young couples who have recently gotten married? Now, I want to return to those 8 habits of healthy couples here. I just want to mention them quickly. They're going to be rituals of connection, emotional rapport and benevolence, self-regulation, a positive intention frame, caretaking in conflict, mutual respect, accountability, and boundaries, reviewing and learning from mistakes, and finally, getting good support. So yes, Dr. Greg Popchick is going to join us. We're going to try to cover as many of these as possible, but if you're interested, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love by Dr. Greg Popchick. That's the book we're drawing from. Stay tuned after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Tuesday, October 1st. It's the Feast of St. Therese of Lisieux. Today's news brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need. VisitingAngels.com. The White House says Iran's attack on Israel appears to have been defeated. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the U.S. helped defend Israel and continues to work with Israel to assess the impact of Iran's attack.
The United States military coordinated closely with the Israeli Defense Forces to help defend Israel against this attack. U.S. naval destroyers joined Israeli air defense units in firing interceptors to shoot down the inbound missiles.
Iran launched nearly 200 missiles at Israel today. Following the attack, Iran warned Israel that a crushing response would follow any retaliation. Union dock workers are striking on the east and Gulf coasts of the U.S., workers walking off the job at midnight in the first large-scale work stoppage in nearly 50 years. It comes after talks between the International Longshoremen's Association and the U.S. Maritime Alliance failing to reach a new contract. Analysts warn the disruption will cost the economy billions of dollars a day. Pope Francis's prayer intention for the month of October is for a shared Catholic mission. In a video message, the Holy Father pointing out that the laity, the baptized, are in the church and in their home and need to take care of it. And so do we as priests, adding, we are co-responsible in mission, we participate, and we live in the communion of the church. President Jimmy Carter is celebrating his 100th birthday. He is already the longest living president in U.S. history. A star-studded concert was held in Atlanta earlier in September to celebrate the occasion. And actor John Amos has passed away at the age of 84. He was known for his roles in Good Times and The West Wing. Amos receiving an Emmy nomination for his performance in the 1977 ABC miniseries, Roots. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Dr. Greg Popchak and his bride Lisa have worked in the areas of helping married couples and families thrive, especially within a Catholic framework, and he's developed a list of 8 habits that are common to most healthy couples. He joins us today. Dr. Greg Popchak is the founder and director of CatholicCounselors.com. He and his bride host More to Life, which is produced by Ave Maria Radio and is broadcasted on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And they're also the developers of the Catholic HOM app, a resource helping Catholic families thrive. Greg, thank you for joining us again. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Marcus. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot, so I'm going to let you know ahead of time. Today's open line has to do with what advice do you wish you knew before you got married, right? And you and your bride work on the forefront of this. So what do you hear from couples who come to you? Like they tell you, I wish I knew this before we got married, or from when we got married.
Well, you know, this is where the 8 habits that I talk about in the chapter kind of come from, because a lot of the sorry, I'm getting over chest cold. I apologize. You know, a lot of the things that people will say are, you know, have to do with, you know, the importance of good communication, you know, or you know, and not going to bed angry. Those kinds of things. But they're true as far as they go. But I think that there are more foundational habits that, that healthy couples have that they don't necessarily even know that they have, but that these are revealed by research. And these habits can be taught to any couple. In fact, you were kind of listing some of them before the break. And you know, so things like the importance of what I call self-regulation. Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that with self-regulation, it's my feelings are my problem. You know, that my feelings aren't something that I use, that I take out on you, or that I use to motivate you. It's I recognize that my anger or my frustration or whatever, that's something I have to sort of sit down with and reflect on first, right, before I can come to you. And then say, hey, look, I was kind of upset about thus and such, and I'd like to maybe do this about it. Or I'm not sure what to do about it, but I'd like to handle it differently. What do you think? And so we can work together on solving it, as opposed to, I'm so angry at you because you did this. And, you know, and so I'm using my feelings as kind of a club to get your attention, or to kind of beat you into submission.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with healthy couples, they take more responsibility for their own emotional reactions, where less healthy couples, less happy couples tend to take their feelings out on each other. So things like that are really foundational that a lot of people really miss.
Right. And that's a crucial thing, honestly. I can speak to this as a man. I was going to say especially for men, but I figure women can benefit from that counsel. But as a man, learning how to regulate your emotions well so that you're not driven by your emotions and how you speak with your bride, especially at the end of the day, and how you speak with your children, I can see how that would be crucial.
Well, it's kind of a human thing, really, and it absolutely is. It doesn't just affect marriage. It's really a skill for successful life and a happy life as well. Mm-hmm. Because the more we're able to not stuff feelings, not pretend we don't have them, mm-hmm. but to process them. And the difference there is that I might still be feeling that anger, or I might still be feeling that frustration. And I'm acknowledging that, right? I'm not pretending that I don't feel what I feel, but it's that I'm recognizing that it's my job to kind of take down that temperature as best I can anyway, before I come to you with it, as opposed to coming to you with it while I'm still kind of hot and burning.
Right.
And then expect you to get me under control.
That's right.
Another example of a good marriage habit, and this one, you know, is rituals of connection. Mm-hmm. You know, so we talk to a lot of couples who feel like they're growing apart, or they never have enough time for each other, and the couples who are happy and successful have a tendency to be intentional about creating times to work, play, talk, and pray together.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally every day, but at least several times a week. And what happens is, you know, very early on in the marriage, when things aren't quite so busy. I mean, most couples when they first get married, they have less to do than couples say after they've had a few children, or and so they tend to think that it's always going to be that way,
right?
You know, so newlyweds they have more time with each other, and so they don't try to schedule time to work and play and talk and pray. It just kind of happens. But then once kids start coming on the scene or work starts getting busier, then that's when the relationships start getting squeezed out. And if you don't have those things in place, you know, you start realizing, wait a minute, we don't ever spend any time with each other anymore. And then you have to kind of try to retrofit the relationship and carve out time for these rituals. So the couples who are healthier recognize that they have to at least establish some basic ways to connect around those four areas, ideally every day. And they carve out some time to do that. And then they keep that early on in the relationship and plan other things around those activities,
that's right.
those rituals.
That seems to feed into that. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, please.
No. That's fine. That's all. It's just a matter of being intentional about those things.
And that seems to feed into the other habit you mentioned, which is emotional rapport and benevolence, because that also involves carving out the space to be there for your spouse and vice versa.
That's right. So, you know, being able to prioritize that relationship, it's sort of a way that couples can take to heart the admonition that Jesus gave to Martha in reminding both Martha and Mary to choose the better part by picking relationship and intimacy over activity and busyness.
Mm-hmm. So what about having a positive intention as your primary frame in approaching your spouse?
Sure. So, you know, a lot of couples, when they are offended by something that their spouse did or said, they assume a negative intention. They assume that my spouse was intending to hurt me in some way. And, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to not imagine that because my spouse is saying, hey, you're a jerk, you know, and how am I not supposed to see that in a negative light? But couples who are in a happier marriage tend to assume a positive intention behind even those kinds of offensive behaviors. So, you know, let's take that same example. You know, Lisa calls me a jerk for some reason. I don't like that. I'm hurt by it. I'm upset by it. But I'm able to say, you know what? There's she's upset about something. Maybe I upset her that much. Maybe she, you know, has had a bad day. You know, there's something going on here, and she's trying to communicate that to me, you know, however badly. So I want to be able to just kind of approach her and just say, hey, look, I get that you're upset. What's going on? Instead of taking that insult personally.
Right.
I'm trying to see the intention behind the behavior and respond to that or empathize with it so that then we can work through it. Whereas other couples will respond to every slight or offense as if you were intentionally trying to hurt my feelings, you were out to get me,
right.
And then, you know, she says that thing, I react to it, and then we start feeding off of each other. It's a little bit like it's the idea of bearing wrongs patiently.
Yeah,
you know, recognizing that there are just some times where we're not going to be at our best. We say things we don't mean or we shouldn't have said, but we're going to give each other a little bit of grace, a little bit of space to self-correct, you know, or to be, you know, gently redirected by our spouse. And so it's a hard thing to get to, but it's important. And it's something that every couple can learn.
Right. And again, you know, like these habits feed into each other, because as you're talking, I'm recalling that habit of mutual respect, accountability, and boundaries, because that plays into having that positive frame as well.
Well, that's right. You know, so the idea of mutual respect comes down to, you know, couples never see eye to eye about anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're different people. They have different likes. They have different needs for different boundaries. You know, so for example, you know, one person might have a lower threshold for conflict than the other.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to respect them enough to recognize that if I'm talking to them, I need to keep our conversation within those boundaries so that they can be comfortable and deal with them appropriately, right? So the idea of mutual respect comes down to I'm willing to try to see the truth and the goodness and the beauty and the things you find true, good, and beautiful, even if I don't see it the same way. You know, because I respect you enough to see that you have a good head on your shoulders,
right.
and if something's important to you or you think that something is valuable or worthwhile, then I should try to see the goodness in that too. And that includes the boundaries that you have or the you know, the ideas that you have or the opinions that you hold. And so that mutual respect idea is all about trying to step outside of each other's comfort zones for the sake of the other.
Right. Well, Greg, thank you so much for making the time to speak with us every week.
Always a pleasure, Marcus. Thank you.
my guest, Dr. Gregory Popcheck. And again, we are talking about what advice you wish your younger self would have known before you got married. You've learned some lessons in life and love in your years of marriage. Call now. That number is 877-573-7825. We're waiting to hear from you. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents The Full Story of a Hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, The Father Flanagan Story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. The longer a married couple lives together, the more lessons they learn about life and love. What is the most important lesson you have learned in your years of marriage? In other words, if you could give yourself one piece of advice that you wish you knew on your wedding day, what would it be? Call now, 877-573-7825. We have open lines and we want to hear from you. What advice would you give yourself if you could tell yourself something on the day you got married, or if you want to speak to couples who are discerning marriage now or who have just recently gotten married? 877-573-7825. Before we start taking calls, I'd like to really draw your attention to the fact that we don't always have the necessary wisdom that we gain over the years. And it's not because time teaches us something. It is because we honestly have the grace of God to help us grow through this. It is because through grace and nature working in tandem with our willingness to say yes to God, that we can honestly say, yes, Lord, I know this is what you're leading me to, and we keep learning along the way. And one such person to share the story is Lori from Texas. Lori, thank you for calling. What advice do you have for young couples, or do you wish you knew yourself?
Well, my advice to young couples, and because my husband and I have been married for 54 years, I think I've got a little handle on what it does to stay together. But I've been telling people when they've asked me, why are you together for so long, is that we've always had God in our marriage. We were at very different phases when we got married. I'm a convert to Catholicism, but I converted because Gary is Catholic, and I said, well, we need to be on the same page there. And it was no problem for me. My mom was Catholic and my dad was Southern Baptist, and I had grown up in the Methodist Church. Mm-hmm. But I had been growing towards Catholicism myself, and so it was beautiful that happened. But I do believe that the reason that Gary and I have been able to, through all of the things that we've been through, my husband did years in the Navy, and there was a lot of separations, and then we've had, you know, like other couples, all kinds of things happen to us over the 54 years, some that were really, really very bad, and just many, many wonderful things. But I think that the fact is that we've been together so long because we have kept God in our marriage. Mm-hmm. We got married in a Catholic church, and it was a beautiful thing, and I recognized that matrimony was more than just marriage. Marriage to me at that point in time when we first got married was more like I had thought it was just a piece of paper.
Right.
But through the church and through the grace of God, I know that it's something that this was made in heaven, and we have to recognize and thank God for that.
Well, thank you so much, Lori. Just very quickly, again, that number for all of you to call is 877-573-7825. What advice would you give your younger self before you got married? Or what advice would you like to give young couples? 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you. The lines are open. So, Lori, just very quickly, what are some practical ways that you and your husband put God at the center of your life? So undoubtedly you pray together. What other ways did you practically do this?
Well, I think that a lot of it was the fact that Gary and I always felt that we needed to share things to each other. We always tried to present a together front with mm-hmm. when raising our children. We have three. And even if we originally didn't agree that it was the same thing, the same method, we had the same goals. And so one of the things that I've just come to recently is that most of the arguments that we've had about anything are because we have the same goal, but we just have different methods. And both of us are strong people, and it's taken a while for me to understand that if we have the same goal and there's a way that we can get there, we should do that.
Right.
And fighting over the little things and even the big things doesn't make any sense if you've got the same goal. Mm. Just have to learn how the other person thinks about that and talk about it and discuss. And Gary and I have had that ability to do it. Sometimes our discussions have been really wild and loud, but we do actually come to not necessarily compromise, but just agreement. And, even if it's something that I think, well, maybe that will work or won't work, or maybe he says that what your idea will or not work, we've been able to work it out. And even though there's been times that we've both felt frustrated with each other, of course, I mean, 54 years, it's human nature.
Well, thank you so much, Lori, for sharing all of that wisdom. Again, that number to call is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And we are asking you, what I wish I had known about marriage before I got married. So you've grown in your years in marriage, or you've just matured over the years, and there are certain pieces of advice you wish you had known before you got married, or you'd like to share with young couples as they're discerning their relationships, as they're discerning marriage, or newly married couples for that matter. I have a friend who works in a tribunal. In other words, he works with the office that handles annulment applications. And working at this tribunal, he sees a lot of failed marriages. And I spoke to him years ago about perhaps one of the core pieces of advice, and he said, discern well. And really what he meant by that is, don't take for granted the fact that your faith has to be the preeminent thing that binds your marriage together. So when he, for example, was talking about all the marriages that he's seeing fail, what he's really seeing is a breakdown in the commitment of the faith from the get-go that manifests itself along the way. So one way that I can honestly say my bride and I are keeping our marriage together is be very explicit about the fact that the faith that we profess is who we are. It's not just what we do. It's not a sprinkling on our family life. It informs our entire life. Our family liturgy, our family rituals all revolve around the fact that we pray together as a family. And this is our hope. This is our greatest concern as a married couple. Again, we want to hear from you. That number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. 7825. What advice would you give to yourself before you got married, or what would you like to say to young married couples right now? 877-573-7825. We're going to Manuel in Miami, Florida, listening on SiriusXM. Manuel, what would you like to share about a piece of advice that you wish you had known?
Thank you for the opportunity. I really thought about this question, and I think that it's important for us to share with young couples. Mm-hmm. And what I would like to share is that we need to put God number one in our lives. That's the most important thing. Even with kids, even with jobs and everything. But if we don't have God in our lives, we don't have anything. So we need God number one.
I thank you so much for sharing that. I completely agree. What's one practical way that you and your bride keep God as number one in your married life?
The practical rule that I could give others is we need to have mutual respect. Mm. Treat the other as you would like to be treated. So she's not more than me. I'm not more than her. We are the same. Mm-hmm. Therefore, in any discussion or in any altercation, anything that we need to discuss, we are the same. Therefore, we need to keep a same level of respect. Should be no yelling, because my point is no more important than her point, and vice versa. So keep respect the same. Very simple, and I would like to treat her as I would like to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the rules.
Well, thank you so much, Manuel, for calling that in. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We will take your calls on the other side of the break, so keep those calls coming. We still have lines that are open. What advice do you wish you had known about marriage before you got married? Or what advice would you like to offer to young couples who are discerning marriage or just got married? Call now, 877-573-7825. We want to hear from you. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu. Get detailed descriptions of Ave Maria Radio guests on their website, avemariaradio.net. Go to the archives, find your favorite program, and then find links or books mentioned in that program. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
What is God's most amazing quality? Surely it must be his enormous mercy towards sinners. This mercy is revealed in the gospel through Jesus Christ. Jesus' very name means salvation from sin. The Eucharist is the sacrament of redemption, we learn from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In order to receive this mercy, however, we must know and acknowledge that we indeed have sinned and are in need of forgiveness. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, St. John's Gospel reminds us. But if we confess our sins, God will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. John Paul II asserted that conversion requires convincing of sin. As a physician must probe a wound before treating it, God, through his word and his spirit, casts a living light on sin. But along with the sting of conscience comes the salve of the certainty of redemption. So the spirit of truth is also the consoler. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize his presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see you. I want to recognize you. I cannot live without you. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. It's Tuesday, and so we have open line, our studio spotlight. And the question is, what I wish I had known, what I would tell myself before I got married, what have I learned now that I wish I knew? We are going to Kristen in Idaho. And by the way, that number is 877-573-7825. We still want to hear from you. 877-573-7825. Kristen, what counsel do you have to share with us?
I'd like to share, my husband and I were married over 40 years, and our children all kind of left the nest, and we were at that one point, like we looked at each other and we didn't know each other because all we did is kind of our whole life was wrapped around our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We joined Teams of Our Lady, which is in the Catholic Church, and one of the priests asked us, you know, why did you get married? And most of us said, because we loved each other. And he said, actually, the purpose of being married is you two are both committed to help each other get to heaven.
Amen.
And that was pretty powerful. And then he continued and he said, the sacrament of marriage is a sacrament that God has brought you two together. And that's something that Satan does not like. And he's right. Going to try every opportunity that he can to cause division. And once we realize that, you know, when you get arguments or disagreements, that that is not from God, but from Satan, it kind of makes you stronger. Like, you know, mm-hmm. No, you're not going to divide this marriage if you really know and are aware of things that sometimes are so small that sometimes people blow it up and it causes division in marriages and stuff like that. But I thought that was a lot of good wisdom that was shared to us.
Well, thank you so much. Go ahead, Kristen, yeah.
But anyways, that's what I wanted to share is everyone, you know, whoever gets married, just know that they're brought together by God. And if they do have any issues and stuff like that, is prayer. And to know those, like I said, they're going to have obstacles.
Right.
Another one is, they said, think of a marriage like a road. You start at the very bottom, and you're going to hit some thorns in your marriage, but you keep going, and the blossom will be there.
Well, thank you so much for all of this, Kristen. I need to move on to other calls, but Kristen's completely right. Keep that eternal perspective. You are married not just because you love each other, even though that's fundamental. It is crucial to the marriage. You're married primarily to help each other become saint, and that good of the spouses for the sake of sainthood is so crucial. Again, that number to call, 877-573-7825. What do you wish you had known about marriage before you got married? Call now. We are going to Joey in Michigan, listening on the Ave Maria radio app. Joey, what counsel do you have to offer us?
Hello. Thank you for having me. My wife and I have been married for 20 years. We have 7 children. And the greatest advice that I could say, especially in these times as they get worse, is daily prayer as a family, regardless of how busy it gets, of how, you know, how busy work is.
Mm-hmm.
We do a 7 days a week, we do a daily rosary and pray for, because we know we need God's help through his mother for the family unit that's getting attacked like it is these days.
Yep.
Especially the more that time goes on, the family is going to be attacked more, because that's the center of society.
Yep.
So you have to hold that together by the glue of the mother's prayer, a daily rosary. And we have crucifixes all over the house, and we always try to let the children know, do not be afraid of suffering, because the ultimate suffering that came from God, man himself, is right there. And we help them, we were able to deal with it better for ourselves and for our children that way.
Right. Well, thank you so much for that, Joey. And yes, I second that. Family rosary. I couldn't possibly live without my own rosary devotion, so I greatly encourage all of you. Pray for your family and turn to the rosary. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. We are going to Lori in Missouri. That question again, what I wish I could tell myself on the day I got married, what I wish I knew on the day I got married. Lori, calling from Missouri, what counsel would you like to offer your younger self?
Hi, Dr. Marcus. I didn't want to call, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was pressing me to call. I have been annulled twice, and I agree with your friend from the tribunal who says, discern well, because it takes two people to make a marriage, but it only takes one person to break up a marriage, right? If one person wants out, then there's nothing you can do. And discern well and take your time, make your observations about do you disagree well? Do you disagree respectfully? The mutual respect that one of your callers mentioned. And I married an alcoholic the first time we were young. I didn't see red flags. But, if they have an addiction, that will be their spouse. You know, that's the nature of addiction.
Right.
The second time I married, I married someone in the church, and I thought we're both Catholic, this will work. Well, we didn't fight well, so to speak, you know. And because, you're going to have disagreements. Take your time to make your observations and see. Don't get all excited. Just, take your time. Is the Lord leading this, or are you emotional? Or are you
right?
And likewise, I would add that the annulment process is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Mother Church asked questions that my friends, relatives wouldn't ask, didn't ask. Mother Church asked, and I was able to sort things out and get to know myself better, and what was I doing? Where was I standing? What was I thinking? But now I'm in the Lord saw to it that I should marry again.
Mm-hmm.
I never expected to. I thought I wasn't good at marriage, but we're both all in, not just one of us all in. through thick and thin, and it's holy, and it's a blessing. And now I know what a real marriage feels like, and it's heavenly. And we laugh about, oh, yeah, you're going to get me to heaven. I'm going to get you to heaven, you know.
Yeah. Well, Lori, I'm going to have to move on to the next call, but thank you so much for that. And yes, discern well. We're still taking calls, 877-573-7825. Tom, North Dakota, we don't have a lot of time, but what counsel do you wish you could offer young couples who are discerning marriage?
Yes, hello. My advice is more so to people, couples that are not married yet,
mm-hmm.
and that is to not live together.
Mm.
That is the sociologists say that that's a good thing to do, but all the research says that it's not a good thing to do at all.
That's very true, yep.
Mary, my wife and I are sponsoring couples, and we have counseled many, many, many couples for pre-marriage. And of those, I can't tell you how many have divorced within 5 years, mm-hmm. in particular after 10 years,
right?
Because they lived together first. So that's my advice. Anyway.
Well, thank you so much, Tom. And Tom is completely right. Now, we're out of time in this segment, but keep those calls coming, and we're going to get to you in the next segment. But I just want to round off with some of those thoughts by simply saying this. Marriage at its core is not about the fulfillment of my desire for intimacy. It's not about fulfilling my loneliness. Marriage, if we put it in right perspective, the church teaches, is about sainthood. It's a vocation to sainthood. And so I've committed to the sainthood of my bride and vice versa, and of course, my own sainthood. And if we keep that in mind, then we can keep that going. Again, 877-573-7825. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
This October 8th, our sponsor, Spirit Juice Studios, presents the full story of a hero, narrated by Jonathan Rumi.
Father Flanagan lived his life by a simple principle, that we are all children of God, and it is our responsibility to care for one another.
Heart of a Servant, the Father Flanagan story, rated PG-13. Tickets and info at fatherflanaganfilm.com. That's fatherflanaganfilm.com. Exclusively in theaters nationwide, October 8th.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Most experts don't think like you do. Go to the computer. Type in child, self-esteem, search. Last time I looked, 31 million options. The experts believe self-esteem is the preeminent moral virtue. Type in child, humility, search. Crickets. Why? When was the last time you heard a secular expert talk about humility? But that's at the very core of the virtues we want to teach our children. Always remember one thing. When an expert tells you how to raise your child, you have to ask a question. Is this expert of the same worldview that I am? Does he or she value the same virtues I want to impart to my children?
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
John chapter 11, verses 21 to 26. This is the story of Lazarus. Lazarus has died. Lazarus is one of his best friends. Just before this passage, we hear the news that Martha and Mary send word to Jesus that the one you love is sick. And the next line in the scripture is, now because Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was. His friend's in need. He can heal. They've seen him heal before. And yet somehow, because he loves him, he stays. And Lazarus dies. And then Jesus shows up 3 days later and is greeted by Martha and Mary, who confront him with the words, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Rather applicable for many of us in our lives. We ask the Lord to do one thing because we're certain it is what we think is best, when in fact he has something which far surpasses what we ask for. Challenge is, in waiting for that to happen, we go through very trying times, which oftentimes makes us wonder, does he really care?
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. We are taking your calls about advice that you wish you had known before you got married, or advice you wish you could offer yourself. We're going to Ryan. By the way, the number is 877-573-7825. Some lines are still open. 877-573-7825. We're going to Ryan in Bismarck, North Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Ryan, what counsel would you have given your younger self?
I guess my perspective as a husband, married 24 years to my wife, and looking back on that, I think it's probably valid for wives too, but I know the husband's side most, but that is, you know, you come into a marriage thinking that one of your major objectives is to provide, you know, provide for your family, provide for your spouse, provide for your well-being as a family. But there's a big difference between providing for your family and working and earning as many dollars as you possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
To invest, you know, in your spiritual growth as a couple, as a family, as an individual, because, you know, I think your wife, your kids, they'll know in the future, maybe even the moment, if you're loving your spouse or your family 10 or 20 or 50% less than you could, they'll know that right away.
Yeah.
They probably won't even be aware if you're earning 10 or 20 or 50% less than you might have. And, you know, that the dollars you put away for the future or whatever, you know, all that, as we know, is prone to, you know, the swings of the markets and the economy and inflation. And whereas you start making deposits into that faith as a couple, as a family, instead of trying to earn every dollar and chase down every advancement, you know, while there's merit in that, but to not focus on that so solely that you don't see the dividends that come with your spiritual investment from the very first day and aren't prone to the swings of life and the economy and who's elected to what office and any of that. It's just such an important lesson for me and a hard one. I struggle with it still, but one of those that I think I would go back to my newly married self and say, stop worrying so much about providing and earning every dollar and worry about investing in your faith as a couple. We've done well, but I know we could have probably taken more opportunities than that. So.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, thank you so much. I think you spoke to the hearts of a lot of husbands who listen to this, even young men who are discerning marriage or about to get married. So thank you very much for that. That was Ryan in Bismarck. Remember that providence as a man, as a husband and father, doesn't just involve bringing home money, but investing greatly in the spiritual and overall well-being of your bride and children. We are going to Trisha in Spokane, Washington. Trisha, what counsel would you have offered your younger self?
Well, I would say that at the time, I believed I knew what I was doing. My husband and I, at the time, we were just young kids that just were best friends. And we came from very different backgrounds. I was Catholic. He was not. He wasn't even baptized. But because we were friends, and we respected how each other thought. And I go back to one of your former callers, and I believe completely what he said. If you don't have respect and you don't love that person enough to believe that they're one of God's creatures that needs the exact same treatment you do, then that isn't going to be a good marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So, but as a young person, you don't see all of that. You just know what you want, and luckily for us it worked out. And I would say to others, though, You know, it's one thing to say, oh, yes, I love that person, but to be a best friend means that you'd never treat that person horribly on purpose anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are times when I'm sure there are things that come up and you look back and go, oh, right, I right. should never have said that. But meanwhile, that's my offering, that after almost 53 years, I think we're still best friends.
Well, that's
and
wonderful.
According to my husband, he always tells everybody when they say, well, how did you get through that? Well, I took a vow. And see, he wasn't even a Catholic at that point. It wasn't. So I think he believed enough that eventually it worked.
Yeah. Well, Tricia, thank you so much for that. So two nuggets of wisdom there that are crucial, which is, number one, your spouse really ought to be your closest friend of virtue, your best friend. And I can say that safely about my bride. She truly is my best friend. She's the person I look forward to spending the most time with and to sharing everything with her, to talking with her about everything. Secondly, this notion of I have made a vow and that I choose every day to not only honor that vow, but honor my spouse. That number is 877-573-7825. What counsel would you offer your younger self if before you got married? What have you learned now that you wish you'd knew when you were younger? 877-573-7825. We're going to Raymond in Albany, New York. Raymond, what counsel would you offer your younger self?
A very simple thing, but one I took for granted. And it is, I wish someone had told me, or I had told myself, you are going to have to be a lot more patient than you think you will. Which seems very simple, because I would have said I was a very patient person. Other mm-hmm. people would have said it of me. But it's just amazing how much you realize after getting married, after having children, just how much more you have to be, that you really have to be able to, you know, do as much as your family needs you to do.
Right.
You know, you can't think of your time as yours. Your time is in service to your family.
That's right.
Realizing that helped me a little bit, right? Because, you know, if your three-year-old has an accident and then has another one in an hour, well, you have to deal with that. And it doesn't matter if you have a deadline to meet. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever else. But you have to deal with it, and you have to deal with it in good cheer and with a good attitude. So just that's my thoughts on that.
Well, thank you so much for that. I need to ask, so do you have some kind of insight into our family life? Because you're singing our song here. That's exactly what we're going through.
Maybe that's everybody.
Well, thank you, Raymond. And yes, I speak specifically to fathers here, husbands. And from the day we profess our vows, our lives are not our own. We willingly chose to make our brides and our children a greater priority than our own carved out time. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't take alone time. It's more that we have an obligation to them that requires a pouring out of self. So like Raymond, I underestimated how selfless I would have to be for the sake of my bride and children, and patient as well. We're going to about that number. Oh, now we have plenty of calls coming in already. That we're going to Lisa in Nashville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM. Lisa, what counsel would you give your younger self?
Hi. I was listening and felt compelled to call in. I've been married 28 years. I have 5 kids. And, you know, I put a lot of thought into that over the years. And the thing is we all say that we love somebody. And, you know, I think sometimes the word casually just gets thrown around way too much. And then I was reminded not all that long ago that somebody was talking about love is an action.
Mm-hmm.
And it's showing that person, not just empty words or words we just take for granted. And, you know, it's love of, you know, your children, your spouse, and stuff like that. But the other thing, too, is, you know, when you get married, it's probably that one of the hardest vocations I've ever had to do. And like the previous caller was saying about being patient,
yeah.
I totally agree. But the other thing is, you know, when you're having a conflict with a person, I've often thought you're not always going to like what your spouse says to you,
mm-hmm.
and you're not always going to agree with what your spouse is saying to you. But I think the key is you have to love that person enough to listen.
Right.
And regardless if you agree with them or even if you don't, you have to listen because you're no longer yourself. You're in a covenant.
Right.
And that's what I think is key for a successful marriage and relationship.
and stuff like that.
Thank you so much for that, Lisa. I'm going to have to move on, but thank you so much for that bit of wisdom. If we have to love each other enough that even if we don't like what's going on, we will listen and we'll be there. We're moving on to Patty in Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on St. Michael Catholic Radio. Patty, what counsel would you give your younger self?
Hi, did you mean Connie? I'm Connie.
Oh.
From Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Oh, sorry. My apologies. Yeah, Connie.
That's okay. I've been married 53 years, and we have 6 kids and 20 grandkids. And they all live in Tulsa, too. So we see a lot of each other, and they see a lot of us. And so, you know, you always want to model good marriage to other families, especially in the world that we live in. The big lesson for me, even though I was raised Catholic, was focusing on the fact that it was a sacrament. And so being an outward sign of God's love was important, not just between the two of us, but mm-hmm. really for our family and for the world and anybody we encountered. There's oftentimes a lot of cheap shots taken at marriage and family and mixed messages about, you know, what love really is. So to dive a little bit deeper into a sacramental experience through marriage has been wonderful for us. And we both came from solid homes, and so I think we assumed that we would be just as fortunate as our parents.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that we've been blessed with some of the really important messages about what God's plan is
right.
for marriage, and that's what we try to reflect in the way we treat one another and the way we interact, you know, with people that we meet.
Well, thank you so much for your call, Connie. Now, unfortunately, we're out of time and we can't take the other calls that have come in, but just very quickly, I want to read out some of the counsel that we've received. Be quick to forgive, quick to ask for forgiveness. Don't find happiness in anyone else but in God first. Find happiness in God first. And I actually think that's brilliant. Don't seek happiness in your spouse. Seek happiness in God and be a conduit towards God's happiness for your spouse. And finally, this is not least, of course, ask yourself, would you marry this person if something happened to them and you had to care for them for the rest of your life? Which all of this feeds into the fact that marriage is a journey to sainthood. And I commit to this covenant by means of a vow, and therefore I've given my whole life to it. And so I am now on this journey to heaven with this person. And that's what marriage should be about. Thank you for your calls. We're going to publish this on AveMariaRadio.net tonight. Until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.